A Calamity of Souls by David Baldacci. Read by McLeod Andrews, CC Aisha Johnson, Carrie Height, and Kiri Sandy. Author's note written and read by David Baldacci.
To librarians and teachers, the shining stars of my universe. I started writing this novel well over a decade ago, by hand, in a journal like the one my mother gave me as a child to jot down my stories. Then I set the manuscript aside to work on other projects, but something kept pulling me back to the story, and it has to do with my past. I grew up in the 60s and 70s in Richmond, Virginia, the old capital of the Confederacy, home to all those statues of rebel elites on Monument Avenue. I was not born into economic privilege, and I grew up with an ethnic surname in a world steeped in the history of the Old South, where the names Lee, Jackson, Stewart, and Davis were revered by many. Thinking back, I believe I would not have become a writer had I not been born in that place and at that time. I was observant and curious, and I remember much from my youth. Where I grew up, the black-white divide was so ingrained that despite the efforts of the civil rights movement and the Warren Court, life was not so very different from many decades before. The old ways were intractable and accepted to such an extent that most people never even thought about it, at least people who looked like me. And while I was the observer of racial bigotry and hatred, I was never the target. To borrow a line from Mark Twain, that is truly the difference between the lightning bug and the lightning. There are many autobiographical elements in this story, from how Jack grew up, although decades earlier than I did, to the thoughts, questions, and misgivings he had about the world in which he lived, how books played an important role in forming his outlook on life, the sometimes confusing and conflicting relationships with family and friends, and the uneasy coexistence of black and white worlds, for they were distinct, separate entities. Like Jack, I delivered the morning paper, and I grew up to be a trial lawyer. My mechanic father fixed up an old Fiat that I drove for a period of time. And there is a Tuxedo Boulevard in Richmond. And yes, to the best of my recollection, the county dump was at the end of the all-black neighborhood. My sixth grade class was one of the first in Virginia to be bused to a black school, finally realizing Brown v. Board's ruling, albeit nearly 20 years late. It was an emotionally and mentally bewildering time for all the students, which I look back on for quite a while as traumatizing. However, as I grew older, I came to understand that it had been necessary to allow children from different walks of life to finally be together after having been separated for centuries for purely toxic reasons. When writing a novel dealing with race in America, the subject of the N-word usually comes up. I cannot think of another term that even approaches the heinous connotations of hatred and evil that stand next to it. However, to create a story set in 1968 that takes on issues of race and fails to use it in some form would be criticized, and justly so, as inauthentic at best, cowardly at worst. Thus, I have deployed it sparingly and in a hybrid form that may not satisfy some, but was the one I chose after much deliberation. Though distinct elements of self-governance date back as far as ancient Greece, if not further, democracies were a thoroughly unproven and unpopular form of governance when America came into being. At that time, the most powerful nations were organized under autocratic systems, usually monarchies, and individual freedom was an oxymoron. Although there were other legitimate claimants to the title, the United States of America is arguably the world's oldest nation with a continuously surviving democratic government. It is certainly the best-known example. However, having only been around for less than 250 years, we are an infant in the annals of history, and our existence has been, at times, uncomfortably turbulent. There were multiple instances in our past when we were at each other's throats, and where a decisive breakup seemed imminent. We ultimately fought a costly civil war to end slavery and keep the Union intact. Clearly, enough people believed the American experiment of freedom and self-governance was worth the blood shed on